Next on Speak Up.
Comfortable in speaking. And then when I met somebody like in church, then somebody started hugging me and say, hi, how are you? I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm like, what is that about? Especially women to women, it's okay.
It all starts right now.
81% of parents don't think,
they don't think
dating violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't mess that up.
I think all,
as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's why we have to control.
Moving to a new country can be an exciting experience. New worldviews, cultural values, food, and people. However, after a while, culture shock sets in. Culture shock often affects travelers and people living far from home, often bringing emotional turmoil. Have you experienced that in your life? That's what we will be speaking up on this episode. Now, here we have a group of people that come from many different places.
Yes.
Except you, Erica.
I come from right here. Born and raised.
She was bombarded.
But when you're traveling outside, that would be
that's
culture
true.
Shock.
That's true. I bet right you have
I have
issues.
Had culture shock.
So what have been our experiences? Have any of you really gone through that culture shock?
Oh, yeah. One at a time.
Okay, Llewellyn first.
I'll answer that. All right, so when I first came here, I was scared because...
You came from the Philippines,
Philippines,
correct? How old were you?
I was already... that was like 13 years ago.
Okay, so, okay.
Yes.
Okay, that wasn't like that far. 13 years isn't like...
You're already an adult.
Yes, yes, I'm going to work here with my husband.
Right.
And then it was scary because I didn't know anybody. And I was not comfortable in speaking. And then when I met somebody like in church, then somebody started hugging me and say, hi, how are you? I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Right. I'm like, what is that about? And especially women to women, it's okay. But men start hugging you. I'm like,
you don't
oh,
do that in the Philippines.
So no, they don't. Do that. Oh, really?
No, we're very conservative.
Okay.
We say, hi, hello, how are you? But we don't hug.
Ah.
Yes.
That's so very different. That,
see what she does now.
I do that now when I go home. I'm uncomfortable doing that too. But I'm used to it.
Right.
So I'm doing it. But then back in my mind, I'd be like, oh, that wasn't right.
Mine was the other way around. Coming from Brazil, I say, hi, how are you? And you go and you hug and you kiss. And when I first got here, people were stiff. And I was like, am I doing something wrong? You know. One of the major things was that people didn't really interact and didn't touch each other. You know, I'm from not only from Brazil, but I also come from Italian family. Okay. So you touch people when you talk to them. And so here it was like I needed to learn about personal
proper
space. Yeah.
Who taught you about that?
When
was your first... You just figured it out.
I picked up on that.
I'm like, what are you doing? You're like, okay, maybe I should change some things.
Now, Novella, you also came from Jamaica.
So here's the thing. I was born in Baltimore.
Oh, you
were. But my family is Jamaican. No one knows. Everyone's like, you're born in Jamaica. My family is from Jamaica. I was born in Baltimore.
So you're an American.
So...
No. Wait a minute.
The culture shock happens when you are an American living in a Jamaican house. You are basically in Jamaica. Nothing about that experience is American.
Yeah.
And so it's a culture shock because one moment you're in Jamaica, the next moment you are in America. So there's a culture shock with that too as a kid growing
up. So it must have been hard for you to like be someone outside in school. And, you know, in the American society, but then come back. Did you have any difficulty with those two worlds?
No, I didn't have difficulties with that because we were expected to be the same person at all times. Okay. Well-behaved, focused, and disciplined.
Okay.
It's just that our colleagues, our peers, were not always well-behaved, focused, and disciplined. Now, I wasn't the best kid. I'm not saying that I was always focused, well-behaved, and disciplined. It's just that that was what we were taught at home. So, for example, on Sundays was yard work day. You were still expected to get your homework done.
Helping the house.
My grandmother lived with us who was sick. So we were expected to learn how to do the G-tube, how to change the Foley catheter, and we're children in elementary school.
Wow.
So we had real-time responsibilities because our culture said, this is you where
you
live.
You gotta
do it. Let's pitch in.
So you but our like friends kids were silly.
Your our friends were silly. Going to the ice cream truck. Mm-hmm. Our friends were playing, Game Boy right. and Nintendo, you know, and we had games, but we had Candyland. We had Connect Four. We didn't have no Game Boy, you know? So there was just a culture difference of expectations and how things were
now, done. Now, for me, one of the things that was very, because I also came from Brazil, as you know, it's, you know, what makes things funny are not so funny, you know, like yeah. humor.
The jokes.
The humor. Jokes, was right. It took a while, and it's still to the, this
like
day.
We weren't funny to you.
Exactly.
Right.
Not at all.
but now I feel
but
that.
But now I get it.
Yeah,
know?
I get it too, because we got, you know, entrenched with the culture, and if I go to Brazil now and I listen to some Portuguese jokes, I go like, I don't get that.
Right.
You know? So because when I came, I was young enough. I was 18 to 19, almost 19.
That's
so I was young enough and I wanted to sound like an American and be like an American. And later on, I realized, oh, hey, there are good things from my culture that I want to keep.
And there are some other things.
Good things of somebody else's. And I'm so thankful that I living on the coast, you were exposed to so many other cultures. Mm-hmm. So you learn a little bit of the Filipino culture from mm-hmm. the Jamaican culture.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
then you make your own culture.
Kind of,
and
right.
and you raise your kids with these values. Look, it's a world.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not just one country. It's a world. And there are things that this culture gets it right, in my point of view as a
sure.
parent.
Mm-hmm.
And this culture gets it right, and this, and so let's, you know, get it and combine and do the gamma culture. So we do have the gamma culture in my
yeah,
family.
See, this is something yeah. that we have here that many times in other countries you don't see as much. Perhaps some countries, certainly not in Brazil, I don't know, probably not in the Philippines as much, is the multicultural. It's like this pot that you have people from all over. And this is one of the greatest things that, in terms of my experience living here, has been for me of growth, of understanding and openness to just embracing different things from different cultures. But if I had to go and live perhaps in a culture that's not so flexible, probably I'll have a harder time.
There's a different expectation. So, you know, American culture has a certain expectation. Mm-hmm. Brazilian, Jamaican, Philippines, you know, everybody has a different expectation. And it's not that any expectation is wrong or right. It's mm-hmm. just that the expectations are different, you know. Mm-hmm. So how I was raised and how Erica was raised, we were raised both in America, but there may have
different
been
ways.
A different expectation
right. yeah.
or a different way.
Well,
yeah.
today we have an expert here that will help us answer some of these questions about culture shock. Our guest is Dr. Cheryl Doss. She is the director of the Institute of Rural Mission for the Seventh-day Adventist Church and also professor at the Theological Seminary at Andrews. Welcome to our show, Dr. Doss.
Thank you.
You heard some of our conversation.
Yes.
We have people here from all over
wow.
the world.
Yeah.
Now, culture shock. Can you
yeah.
tell us what really is culture shock?
Well, culture shock has been defined as that inner frustration that occurs when dealing with cultural differences.
Okay.
And that can be different for different people. And as your conversation showed, it doesn't have to happen just because you have moved to another culture. It can just be interactions with other cultures.
Uh-huh.
Or between a family culture and the wider culture.
So it's not just about having to be exposed to that, but you become frustrated with some of the things
yes.
that are different.
Yes.
And you think, oh, no, maybe the way I think is right is the right way.
Well,
not so
we're
much.
All raised to behave correctly, right?
Oh,
whatever
yes.
we're raised to
whatever
behave,
values
whatever
okay.
that is correct. And then when we hit up against another culture, which has different correctnesses, so to speak, then we often find frustration, or we often think there's something wrong with that culture. Why do they do it that way? You know, don't they know how to stand in a line? Yeah. How come they don't stand in a line like we do it at home? Or don't they know how to eat properly?
Uh-huh.
And that sort of frustration can occur.
Well, this is a very exciting topic.
Yeah.
We have lots of questions we
yeah.
want to ask Dr. Doss, but don't go away. We'll be right back after the break. We are speaking up about culture shock and how women are affected by it. Dr. Doss, you were just telling us a little bit about what culture shock is. It's frustration, and we described some of that earlier.
Yes.
Now, what causes, really, that frustration and that
yes.
culture shock?
When we encounter differences attached to cultures, it's very deep. It's not just a personal choice. It's the way we've been taught. It's the way we've been raised. It's bred
into
us.
The values, I guess.
The values, the ways of behaving, the things that we think a person should or shouldn't do to be polite or, you know, not rude. So to, and yet we encounter another culture that does it completely different. The natural response is say they're rude, they're wrong, why are they doing it that way? Don't they know how to act properly?
I've heard a term called negative attribution. Like
we
actually think that that is a wrong thing that they're doing.
Right. If we don't understand something, we usually give a negative meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't it be even simpler than that, though? When I think of culture shock, you mentioned food earlier.
Right.
I think about traveling to Spain, and my culture shock wasn't about they're doing things wrong because it's different than me. It was this doesn't taste the way, you know, I don't like the taste of this. I can't read. I can't figure out
directions. Figure out what it's saying. Right.
It's the, I don't know. I'm not comfortable
now
here.
Now imagine if you had to live there. Now you, you oftentimes help Americans or other people from this culture. We were talking about that. See, that go to another country. Mm. Tell us a little bit about that.
How and it's not just Americans. Anyone from anywhere that goes to a country outside their home country to live probably are the ones that really experience culture shock. We all may have small tastes of it as we travel. But if you go there to live, you kind of go through some stages. First of all, most people go into a new culture, they kind of have a honeymoon. They kind of enjoy
the differences,
you know, the new taste. Maybe they don't like them all, but there's kind of excitement
because
attached to seeing the differences, the neat new clothes or whatever, you know, is different about it. But then after a while, the differences begin to irritate.
You're there. And not just a 1 week. It's like a year.
The honeymoon is over.
The honeymoon is over, and we don't understand why people do stuff this way. And we see deeper into it. We begin to not like what we see just because we don't understand it, usually. Yeah. And we don't understand it, and it may truly not be something that we would ever be comfortable with. Mm-hmm. For example, I moved to a culture in which people shake hands all the time. Mm. I mean, not just the first time you meet them.
Every time you meet them.
All day long.
Like we, every time we kiss and hug all the time.
Right. And it's like, after, you know, about 50 times a day, you just...
It's enough.
It is.
That's enough.
You know? So like you say, small things. And you just become frustrated with it. Mm. And you begin to give negative meanings to it. Yeah. And you begin to dislike it, maybe even... descend to disgust, and many people actually end up in some depression or
like emotional turmoil. So that is normal. It's part of culture shock. Then one of the
phases. Yes, and because especially if you're there for the long haul, you're stuck with this.
Yeah.
It's not like you can go home. This is going to have to become your new home.
Yeah.
And so, over time, if you give yourself time and you truly engage with the culture. Mm-hmm. Then you begin to achieve some acceptance and understanding and find your new way of negotiating through the culture. So, for example, you move to a culture where nobody stands in a line at the bank teller.
Oh.
You know? So you just kind of have to... learn how to keep your elbows out.
Push your way.
I would
get pushed all the way. Sorry, I have to interject there because is this a cultural tradition or is this a class tradition? Because there are a lot of things that people don't do throughout the world because they have been taught that it's not polite to do it, whether you go to Japan or, you know. So are we sometimes guilty of putting... categorizing people because where they come from instead of getting to know a person and talk about it, you know, just individual.
There's
basis.
Always individual differences. There also are urban and rural differences.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's general cultural differences that are what's generally acceptable in a culture, what's generally considered polite, not polite.
And that varies, right?
And it varies.
Like in some countries, doing this is not impolite in a line.
It's a survival technique.
No, it's just the way you do it.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's funny. I was in a meeting with people recently, actually in Israel, several people from different cultures, and there was somebody from a European as part. All the others were either Latino or from the Middle East. They were all talking and ordering the food, and the European was waiting his turn.
Yeah.
And then in the end, after everybody had already ordered, he hadn't ordered. It's because everybody was like, you know, going.
He went hungry.
He never came around. He's like, I guess I will be the last one. So, you know, those little things.
Right. Whether you can, how long do you have to wait before someone stops talking before you get to start talking?
You know,
this is very...
Like in an Italian, everybody talks at the same time.
Right. These all are things, usually they are part of the culture and we grow up with them. That's the way it should be.
Right.
And differences we tend to give a negative meaning to. Mm. We call it rude. Ultimately, though, if we sink into a culture, if we really engage that culture, we come to the point of feeling at home in it. Mm. We come to the point of acceptance.
That's the goal. Yeah. So somebody might be watching us today, and they may be leaving here, in whatever country you're watching this, and you might be going through the stages. There's good news then.
Yes.
That if you just give it time. So tell us a little bit, what are the things that can help someone going through this culture shock to actually find that resolution?
First of all, it's patience.
Patience.
And the biggest place of the patience needs to be with yourself. Because oftentimes the feelings of culture shock generate a lot of self-condemnation. Like, why can't I understand? Why can't I get along? What's wrong with these people? So there may be blaming and so on. And just, we call it withholding judgment. Withhold judgment of yourself, withhold judgment of the other culture. And learn. Ask questions.
You've got to be open.
Ask questions. When you don't understand something, don't pretend that you know it. Mm-hmm. Just say, you know, I don't understand how to do this. Can you help me? Most people enjoy that kind of question, you know? They're happy to help you. And ask good questions. Listen really carefully. Most of culture is learned by observation. Mm-hmm. You know, none of us ever took a class in how to act in an elevator.
That's true.
We all know.
A lot of bad things happen in elevators. Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, but we all know.
We observe what people do.
You're not supposed to sit on the floor, you know. You're not supposed to punch all the buttons. You're not supposed to, you know, we know these things, but we never took a class. And so that's the way most of culture is learned.
Now, you know, that reminds me of something. Mm-hmm. There are people in this country, many other countries, that they come, but they are not willing to get into the culture. They're closed in their own families and community and what is familiar and comfortable to them. What happens to the people? Those people, they will always isolate themselves.
Language groups can isolate themselves because of language
issues. They don't know the language.
So learning the language is really important.
Mm-hmm. So that's a step, learning the language.
Yeah, learning the language and engaging the culture, making friends outside one's own community, especially in parts of the world, like here in the U.S., where you can actually have subcultures that have their own communities. It's just way too easy to live in some cities in the U.S. and never learn English.
That is not to say that you cannot be proud of your own culture.
And you should maintain those values too, but you can always be open. So tell us, Dr. Dawes, there is something good that comes out of culture shock then.
Yes. Culture shock actually is a symptom that you're engaging the culture. If you're in another culture and you're not having any culture shock, you might want to ask yourself, am I really getting into
isolated.
The culture?
Yeah.
Or am I isolating
myself?
And it's a normal response. And I think the other thing we have to remember that helps us through it is that family members go through it at different stages
different ways. It's different for different people.
We don't all adjust to a new culture in the same way or at the same timing. And it doesn't help if our spouse is down in the dumps about something to say, what's wrong with you? Don't you like the food? I mean, the food here is great. Or this is, you know.
So being patient with others.
Being patient with others as well as yourself is really important. And allowing our family members to go through it in their own speed and in their own ways.
Well, that is very helpful. Thank you so much, Dr. Dawes, for helping us to understand. I think all of us are a little bit more knowledgeable on this now. We can help our families and friends.
We've all survived it, so you know you can.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, for more information, visit our website, hopetv.org/speakup. There you can find our Speak Up notes on culture shock, and you can share it with your friends and your family. Also, send us your questions and your comments on this topic. You'll see the link for our Facebook page right on our website. When we come back from the break, the Word of God will speak up on this topic. Welcome back. We are speaking up today about culture shock. Now, what have we learned? There's a lot of interesting things about, I didn't realize culture shock had so many layers to it.
Yeah.
But there's good news about it, too. We can all come to an end.
I appreciate the point about immersing yourself. Because I think if you're kind of on the outskirts and you're just seeing these things kind of from a distance and you're not really letting it affect you and just say, I'm here, I want to experience this, I know it's different, but I'm here and I want to be in it.
Right.
Yeah, I think in Spain I did that for probably the first, because I spent a summer there learning Spanish.
3 months or so. Yeah,
yeah, and those first couple weeks I think I did that like, I'm American and it's okay that I'm American and whatever.
Right.
By the end, I could have lived in Spain forever. I completely immersed myself in it.
In my personal experience, I based on my own values. So when I became a mom, I wanted my children to follow and observe certain rules that I did myself growing up. So I thought that was important and I maintained
that. You wanted to keep some of that heritage. Right.
But then there were things, because the same things that makes your kid trust and be open with you is the same thing that is going to make them answer, what, when you call them from the, you know.
So that would never happen. What would happen to you if you said that?
I can't say that. So what would happen?
How do you respond to your mom?
My mom, when she calls my name, I say, yes, mom. When I call my niece's name, my niece says, yes, auntie.
Okay, it's a sign of respect.
Right, yes, auntie, yeah.
So you pick and choose. As a parent, mm-hmm. I had to pick what was really important for me.
Sure,
so I took what instead of yes, mom. But I also was expecting that he would tell me everything that happened to him in
high
school.
It was a way to
break
a barrier.
You were using
that
means to open
build
up.
The communication.
It was the barriers were down, and that to me was more important.
I just see that. Actually, maybe not the exact what word, but I see the method of what you were doing. Because even sometimes, you know, when we're living under situations where you have to do it this way, you feel like, okay, well, you the parent, I'm the child, and there's things I can't tell you, or you're the aunt, you know, I'm just the niece, the things I cannot tell you. So it's great when there's a moment for just openness. In my youth, sometimes they don't call me Pastor Smith. Some of them just call me Vella.
Yeah,
and I'm cool with that.
That may reflect different relationships.
And different relationships. But that's what she's trying to accomplish, different relationships. Right. So
I get it. One good thing is we have to lay aside the fears, right?
Yeah.
In order to be able to experience something different or in terms of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times I see, even here or in some other countries, because of language, because of the fear that, you know, you're going to expose yourself to something you don't understand, people stay within their own communities.
And that people will look at you differently. It's not only that you're scared.
Yeah, you're going to be judged.
You're scared that you're going to be judged based on
But we need to leave that behind. Mm-hmm. And as you said, and as we just learned, just, you know, explore and know that with time, if you're going through emotional turmoil, that will pass and you'll be able to maybe see that. As you said, I would live in Spain after a while. You know, you're able to embrace that as your own and create your own culture.
Absolutely.
Right?
I really would encourage people who are here coming from another culture to learn the language, try to interact with people so you can pick up on those values. And because there is a phenomenon that happens when we deal with multitudes.
Uh-huh.
So we go, oh, that culture is this, that, and the other.
We can't simply just say this is what it is.
Yeah,
there are many
facets
to it.
Yeah.
Now, the Word of God probably has something always to say about this. Do we have
I think what's cool about the Word of God, first of all, is that so many cultures are found within the Bible.
Yeah.
And the truth is, God is in all of our cultures, you know, whether it's from the Philippines, Brazil, Italian, American, Jamaican. God is found in all of those cultures. So that's the first thing, that if we choose to ignore culture, we're missing out on a part of God.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Right.
We're missing out on a part of God. So you want to share our text, Erica?
We're reading Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
I think that speaks to some patience. We need to be patient in knowing that God actually has a purpose for the process of growth.
Yeah, if you're here or if you are moving for mission to another country or whatever it is your situation, God has placed you there.
God
He's began a work in you in your life.
Reason, right.
Just allow Him to complete
and there's
it
something,
in due time.
And there's so much to learn from other cultures that maybe in your culture, maybe that's limited. Like Llewellyn was saying, the hugging and stuff, that doesn't really happen in her culture. But when she came here, she was able to embrace that more. Right. I mean, what if you were able to see God in a different way through that physical touch, that kind of embrace? Mm-hmm. We don't want to miss that process.
That's very true. Exactly. It's beautiful. I think the Bible wisely always reminds us that God has a plan and He is every experience we go through, he's bringing something new, making you mm-hmm. even a better person mm-hmm. Because of it. Mm-hmm. So we have learned today that culture shock is quite common among people immigrating to another country. Perhaps you are going through the honeymoon stage and being excited about the new experience you're having, enjoying the new environment you're in. But if you are going through the frustration stage or that adjustment phase, perhaps with some emotional turmoil, don't despair. God has begun a good work in your life, and he will complete it in due time. It may take some weeks, some months, some years maybe, but the final stage will bring acceptance and joy, and you will feel more at ease. Please remember to visit our website, hopetv.org, /speakup, and there you'll find resources to download, and in fact, our Speak Up notes. It talks about culture shock. You can share them with your friends and with your family. Now, if you do need prayer today, we are here to pray with you. Call our phone number, 1-888-446-7388. Also, send us your comments and your questions on our Facebook page. We will see you next time to speak up on issues that matter for your whole health and your happiness.